Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome. Donna Sebo here. You're in for an hour of mind power, and this is going to take you into a whole different perspective. And, well, some of you may say, Donna, what's the deal here? We're reaching out into unknown lands, unknown experiences of consciousness, and also a little bit more. We have a guest today. We've been working with, checking with phone lines, and his name is Michael Elegian, and also he had a co-author with his book, Aurora Light. The book is titled Prepare for the Landing. Are you ready? So we're going to be talking about this. Michael, are you with me?
Yes, I am. How are you doing?
Well, I am doing wonderfully. Here in the Pacific Northwest, we are having what I call the Liquid Gold Special. And that is sort of what you're experiencing up in the Seattle area, I'm sure. Your book was very, very intriguing to me because your background has involved your development of mediumship channeling ability when you were quite young. You found in 1979 that there was a life-threatening emergency that you experienced, and that took you into a whole different level of perception. Can you share that experience with my audience?
Well, yes. As you mentioned, when I was younger, actually, I had, before, you know, people often ask me, when did I get involved in all of this? And I have to say, well, prior to coming into this embodiment, I remember specifically choosing my earth parents, biological parents, that I was going to be born through, which we all do, of course, do choose for our missions. And because I wasn't born with the veils, cosmic amnesia veils over my mind, for me, the experience was a little unique in that sense, though like every other volunteer, I left most of my Elohim powers and abilities on back with the immortal light body on the ship, but chose parents that were of a holistic and metaphysical background. The holistic was important because, one, my mission being one of the aspects was to be a what I call cosmic telephone line, which higher beings would be channeling through me. I wanted to be born into a family that holistically, from a natural holistic sense, I wouldn't be ingesting chemicals and chemical things that would numb and dumb me out. So my parents, my earth parents, were very involved in the Edgar Cayce teachings. And my father was a professional stage hypnotist, having discovered that, and in researching Edgar Cayce, the famous sleeping prophet's life, that he discovered that Edgar Cayce, having faced at one point in his life a little emotional physical challenge and had gone to a psychiatrist, a hypnotist, who put him into a somnambulistic trance state, and he learned to induce that state himself eventually, and then began to do these famous life readings that he was known for. So after I started having visitations from some of the cosmic beings of light, extraterrestrial human-appearing beings, Earth-ascended masters, cosmic beings, like Archangel Michael, started coming around me, I started going into altered states and talking in my sleep. And my Earth father recognized the signs that he could work with me and began to train me. And that is, as we find out in the ancient oracle traditions, often there was somebody like a hypnotist who helped to induce the channel, the oracle, and becoming, helping them to develop themselves and to becoming a clear channel. So I actually, at 6 years of age, 1959, I fell off the, as I share in the book, Prepare for the Landings, at prepareforthelandings.com. The experience I had written in my life script, having a life-threatening thing at a moment where I fell off the pier, and in the process of falling into the ocean, the higher forces who actually belong to the Galactic Federation of Light beamed me physically on board from that fall and actually took away most of my trauma. Now, that experience was very important because it set the stage. It verified to me the memories I had carried with me from the time I was born. And it also was made very clear to me in the presence of these beautiful human-appearing Elohim beings that this personal experience of divine intervention that I was experiencing, that has been written into my life script, as I said, was a precursor, was preparation for a time in the future when mass planetary divine intervention, when they would come down in mass, hover over the planet close, or land in mass, and physically lift up a lot of us and have a little cosmic R&R, that this was going to happen ultimately. Of course, traditionally it's been referred to as the rapture, but this is not a religious experience. This is a spiritual experience. I think there's a difference between the two terms in the sense that it's our consciousness we are experiencing. So that was one of the first experiences of physically having contact with them initially in this lifetime. And then the experience you're referring to later, 20 years later, in 1979, approximately, when I was again came under a life-threatening situation, and the fact that one of my missions was to also expose government cover-ups on the subject, what I call the cabal, or what they've been doing, the Illuminati, trying to suppress humanity's freedoms. So I began to talk about a lot of things at that point, and so I came under the gun, I came under a target, and I got hit with what I call a psychotronic beam, the psychic assassination technique that they've used, and often a number of divine emissaries. So part of my mission was to kind of say to the cabal, you're not going to off the divine emissaries any longer. Because when I woke up after they hit me with the psychotronic beam and literally killed me, I mean, they ripped the life force out of my body, but next thing I remember was waking up on the ship, the Merkaba, the light ship, Galactic Federation Light, and these four beings dressed in blue metallic suits standing around me, putting the life force back into my body and altered my DNA RNA, partly as protection so that the cabal couldn't hit me that way, but also as a catalyst for these transformational channeled readings that I do for other light workers, other volunteers, other star people. That's a term that's interesting because if you go to channelforthemasters.com and look at that NASA star people characteristic list, I think a lot of your listeners can relate to a lot of those characteristics.
Michael, you also have a co-author, Aurora Light. In fact, you're planning on putting out a series of books. This is the first one, Prepare for the Landing. And Aurora herself speaks out about UFOs and ET contacts. Interestingly, she has been on BBC and Armed Forces Radio. She's not only had her own show, but she in interviewing guests, and she's lectured. She's quite an interesting lady. How did the two of you come together? How did you manage to decide that you wanted to co-author as a team a series of publications?
Well, I don't know about the other books per se, only because time is kind of running out to what originally my plan had been to publish a series of books, but with how close things are about to happen here shortly, according to me and many other channels and contactees, it seems very imminent of some major changes that we've been looking forward to. Aurora had her experiences in Detroit, Michigan. I had mine on the West Coast in California. You know, we came together because of our missions, being able to help prepare humanity. And so we went on a number of lecture tours for quite a few years, getting a lot of people hep to things that the what I call the UFO community has basically been covering up. There's kind of what I call a psychops within the UFO community. I call it, refer to that by a lot of so-called UFO investigators who like to ridicule or put down spiritual experiences while putting out a lot of negative stuff about entities called the Greys. Well, it's happened that people have been abducted. It's still a small reality compared to the vast majority of benevolent contacts with angelic human-appearing beings who want to help this planet. So there's a lot of changes happening that have what I would say we're in a new timeline now compared to the old timeline. That's going to change a lot of things that a lot of people thought or prophesied were going to happen, and that concept of a new timeline is very important for people. I mean, a lot of movies that have come out actually have encodements of reality presented in fiction form. That, and I kind of explain it this way, that there's a group of those of us whose oversoul future self have merged into the past-present timeline. So we actually, we could say some of us are essences from the future that has come back to alter the outcome. So instead of only a third of humanity surviving through this change, I see at least 90 to 95% of humanity now making it through without even having to go through so much trauma. So there's some very exciting things about to unfold here. According to some people, a guy named Drake, in fact, who's come out recently, there's going to be a lot of arrests of the Illuminati cabal right away. It's already happening, actually. Hundreds of resignations and arrests already have happened in Europe and other places, and our corporate-controlled mainstream media has covered this up, people stepping down and resigning. But very soon, in coming weeks, we expect to see a lot of people like the Bushes and the Clintons and the Rothschilds and Rockefeller types to be arrested, literally, before the Hague World Court, and have to answer for all their crimes against humanity, like human genocide and all their other plans for martial law and everything that they were planning to instigate. But the Galactic Federation stepped in and has neutralized those plans.
You bring out some, as well as Aurora, both of you have some fascinating stories in here. And you mention at the beginning of your book one of the authors that I think was just absolutely phenomenal in her time frame, and that's Ruth Montgomery. For those of you that may not have heard of this woman, she really enabled a lot of information regarding the various aspects of intuitive talent, her own experiences. She ended up being a woman that did automatic writing, and her stories were just incredible, and you mention her and some of the things that she discussed. So for those of you listening, it's well worth researching. A man that you brought up in your book that had an absolutely phenomenal experience, and I don't remember exactly when it was. Maybe it was in the 60s, the late 60s. I remember hearing a tape about his experience. It was Dr. Ray Brown and the Atlantean Crystal. And this man was a diver, went down with some other people. Share that story about him, because it really is a profound one. And this being experienced so many years ago, is he still alive?
No, he passed on. When was it, the late 80s? I'm trying to remember, early 90s. It was in the 90s, actually. Because, you know, some people have personal life, you know, habits and stuff. He didn't eat really healthy. And he was the guardian to this crystal. And there were some interesting things the crystal did. This was an Atlantean crystal, a power healing crystal. So it had a very interesting, profound, people saw it come alive, Aurora Light saw it come alive in the hands of a medium, and they talked about, the message was that the army of light was being formed, that when we were bright enough and light enough, that would be the signal for the higher forces to come in. Well, the medium was actually talking about divine intervention that was shortly going to happen, and people like Marcel Vogel got involved because of this crystal. A lot of things we connected with him, Marcel Vogel, IBM Research Laboratory, who was also instrumental in analyzing. I know we're limited on time here, so I'm trying to touch on a number of things, too, as fast as possible. But he was involved in a very interesting contact case called the Billy Myers contact case, where crystal metal samples were brought back and analyzed at IBM Research Laboratory and proven they could not duplicate those on Earth's levels of technology. So we see a lot of links with a lot of different topics and subjects here that kind of lead back to consciousness and the work that we've been doing a long time that get us to this point, and some of the recent events that have happened are getting very exciting because of some of the stuff that's imminent to occur here, that we're all, those of us who are really plugged into the cosmic circuit, are waiting to occur, and some very profound things are happening. It's interesting, looks like my girlfriend Laura Legere, she has written a book called It's Not Weird Anymore. Go to itsnotweirdanymore.com, and she shares an interesting story. You might be interested in interviewing her on your show, too, because of things like people's physical bodies. If you think about this now, and she had an accident a few years ago and smashed her face on this coral rock, well, she had an experience having synthetic things put in her body, that there's thousands of people with synthetic parts, and the fact that we're going through a planetary ascension, the theory is that would all these pieces would be dropping out of our bodies onto the floor. And I'm just bringing this up as an interesting point with the time frame here. And it's a way to find out how would synthetic things vibrationally be able to shift. So a lot of things like crystals and various things that set the stage for other energetic processes that we're now experiencing, it's all really interesting because of, you know, the sum total of what's going on and the implications for all of humanity and the fact that divine intervention is shortly to occur. And in my transformational channel readings that I do, you go to channelforthemasters.com, check out that NASA Star People characteristic list, and I think you'll see you are connected with this reality too. So there's a lot of things that we can touch on, time frame being what it is. That's why it's frustrating when we, you know, have a shorter time to talk about it, but I try to touch on as many things as I can and to kind of give an overall view of what's going on.
In your book, Aurora talks about utilizing crystals, and this is something that she's done a lot of work with. And she mentions how both you and her have been trained in the art of kinesiology. In fact, she said you've been trained by one of the top experts in this, and that was the individual who taught Marcel Vogel. And this is a wonderful, wonderful tool to be able to use. Kinesiology, I think, is going to come forth more and more as time goes on to work with individual body chemistry. But she talks about the crystals, and she goes into so much information regarding their value, and she goes into Ray's story. And as you mentioned, you have the information on your website regarding what you call the star people. You also have information on walk-ins, which Ruth Montgomery helped to introduce many, many years ago. And you've got so many good points of information. One of the points of information you bring out, one of many points in your book, is about vortexes. Mention to my audience or explain to them what a vortex is and why is Sedona, Arizona so significant?
Well, it's been one of the many places on Earth we could say has certain vortexes. Actually, vortexes exist all over the planet. Just in Sedona, there is just a lot more of them together. You know, it's like per capita, I'll use that term. Some places have more than just one in the significance of, we could say, stargates, portals, wormholes, are all forms of vibration. Vortexes are part of the reality of how we can travel interdimensionally. And up until recently, in ancient times, these stargates and portals, vortexes, were very open that you could travel back and forth. And then they got shut down because the negative forces wanted to use them. Well, now a lot of them are about to be open, Sedona being one of the many places. And up here where I am presently, I'm living in Seattle, Washington, on the property here, there's different places that have, I find places in the last year when I was traveling quite extensively on book tour with the book Prepare for the Landings, Are You Ready? At prepareforthelandings.com, I encountered a number of vortexes and different people. They're very common, actually, more than people realize, but unless people aren't plugged into the energy. So I find wherever I go, more and more, they're popping up, they're appearing, and some places that have become famous, like Sedona. And I also find, though, wherever I go, more and more of them have been there, but they were shut down. Now they're being reactivated. They can be smaller. They can be bigger. They vary in size, and that's adjusted, too, with the shift of the ages taking place. So I find that more and more places are experiencing phenomena of stargates, portals, vortexes that were either shut down or are being reactivated, or new portals, stargates, and there are natural vibrational concentrations of energy that are now kind of like acupuncture needle points for the Earth. When we meditate, when we ground light, we're like acupuncture needles for Mother Earth. So when we meditate in the vortex, different locations, when we find wherever we are, there's more and more of them, as I said, popping up. The entire planet has huge numbers of them everywhere, and more people are discovering them. And I'm discovering everywhere I go, there's more of them popping up, and they're getting bigger. We're about to experience, you know, interdimensional and extraterrestrial contact and travel openly. So these are precursors that have led the way for the entire planet to experience a mass kind of phenomena in this kind of way. And I find it not so unique as, you know, it's unique as it has been, but it's becoming more common now for that to occur. And in my transformational channel readings that I do, the vortexual energies, the encodements they put into the recordings of these sessions, when you play back the sessions, they activate people's DNA, RNA. Being in a vortex can do that. The sessions I do are very concentrated in that way to enhance each light worker, each person's mission. So because there's a group of us that are here on missions, and being in vortexes or receiving them directly as in this particular channeled way, it helps to amplify that person's attunement. And I'm being very brief here because of the time frame.
Thank you. Michael, with the vortexes, do you think that many of the archaeological findings that are being brought forth, Casey mentioned that it was when it started happening because of technology, we were going to be discovering a lot of places, just as you mentioned, you're becoming aware of, that there are energy readings on, that there are these shifts and these changes. The archaeological discoveries that are evolving about old cultures, old sites that were in environments that are not existing today, that are so old, so many of these seem to be coming to surface. Do you think that this is part of what is evolving so that a lot of ignorance and lack of knowledge is going to be eliminated so that there is really going to be an understanding that there's been a lot going on for a much longer period of time than imagined?
Well, absolutely. In fact, the thing I touched on briefly about these arrests that are about to occur on a mass public level, major cabal Illuminati members, that, you know, right now the Vatican is a huge upheaval going on in the Vatican because of all the nasty things they've been involved in. There's, you know, I mean, literally satanic stuff they've been involved in. That's one of the most powerful organizations. And I'm not talking about Catholic people. I'm talking about the organization of a huge Orthodox organization that gained a mass, a lot of power, that was involved in human genocide. There's plenty of evidence from everything going on. And they have been involved in researching UFO stuff for years, from Fatima to everything else. We're about to see a huge release of information, how our historical accounts from the time of Jesus to many other things have been manipulated by the Vatican. And they have accumulated from the Knight Templars to things that is, they stole our history, basically, and put a spin on it for their own religious, political, ideological purpose. And in their Vatican catacomb libraries, we're about to see a huge amount of stuff be released. I mean, nasty stuff, like the satanic stuff, to other incredibly wonderful things that they withheld because they wanted all the power for themselves. And they were involved, part major part of the Illuminati of control that is about to come down. There's a huge number of organizations, people have formed to expose all this stuff that they've been involved in so that we can give back a sense of integrity to the planet. So much of our historical record has been manipulated in from the Council of Nicaea in the 3rd, 4th century to a lot of other things that have been going on. So we're on the verge of a huge renaissance of information. I call disclosure, and there's a new economic system called NASARA about to be already in place, but about to be officially announced, and the Federal Reserve Fiat 20 system is about to be replaced officially with this new system. 140 countries are already signed on to it. It's only a matter of days now, weeks until the announcement takes place, I'm convinced, because of insiders and whistleblowers that are coming out right now talking about the imminence of all this. So it's very exciting. We're on the verge of a mass shift, and consciousness revolution is taking place throughout the planet right now, and corporate control media wants to cover all this up. So through my channelings and through communications and various others, we're all getting the same thing. It's imminent. It's about to happen. There's a lot of good people in the military who are going to be involved in get rounding all these people up, basically, who have been scounding our freedoms and financial. We've all been economic servitude, and that's about to come to an end.
Now, Michael, one of the other points that you bring out in your book is a comment about something called the Rejuvenation Chamber. The Rejuvenation Chamber. Now, Taylor Caldwell, who was a highly renowned author, wrote a book on Atlantis. And this is a woman that had had so many experiences under the aspect of hypnosis about past lives. She often said that she had like a muse, I'm going to use that word, that was with her. She said she was merely the facilitator of these phenomenal stories that she wrote. She was just absolutely awesome. And she put out a book about Atlantis. And in her book, she describes very thoroughly a rejuvenation chamber. And I found it interesting that you yourself have some information on this. You go into quite a bit of detail regarding information on all kinds of points. You said, Michael, when we first started the interview, that though the plans had been made by you and Aurora to be able to do a series of books, those plans have changed. Are you going to be coming out with another book? Is this just...
Well, as I said earlier, because of the time frame, I don't see this having time to do it, really, because of so many things that are happening right now, with all this other stuff going on. And the Rejuvenation Chamber is something that we will be experiencing once the evacuation, once divine intervention happens on the light ships, once disclosure and easy disclosure and the SAR is announced, ships are going to be coming down openly. There's been a little bit of a shift from the initial emergency evacuation aspect of what I have in the book, because I see, as I said, instead of a third of humanity surviving, I see about 90 to 95% actually waking up now, going through a whole shift that's going to allow the Galactic Federation to openly come down. This is basically new because of the new timeline. And they're going to actually, well, we can experience it aboard the ships. We're also going to be given little portable rejuvenation chambers, ultimately, as well as replicator device and a lot of other things that we're going to be utilizing here on the Earth. So things are a little bit different in the sense it's not so much of an emergency scenario as it is open divine intervention of the ships. Once we get the Cabal members out of the way, we've been blocking all this, now we're going to be able to bring in the Golden Age a little much better, more smoother, than a lot of the original, more destructive sense of the transition the Earth was originally going to go through. So in the last few years, I just see a better outcome. I mean, the basic scenario is still pretty accurate in the book. It just, I don't see it as much of an emergency scenario because of such a mass awakening that's been taking place in the last few years.
Michael, I know we're almost out of time here. What is your website that people can go to find mm-hmm. more information about yourself, your research, your appearances, etc.?
Well, the two main websites would be channelforthemasters.com, where you can see that NASA Star People characteristic list and see how many of those you have, and it's also about my transformational channeled readings that I do for lightworkers. And then the other website is prepareforthelandings.com, and that's all about my book. You can either order one, an autographed copy, get your boarding pass activated, and you can order an e-book and Kindle in various ways. And there's also some great DVDs available on the website, which is related to some webinars and workshops. I have a webinar actually coming up for people who like to attend on the 24th of this coming month, Sunday, where I'm doing a webinar, a workshop over the Internet, where I teach people about specifically about channeling, called the Dynamics of Cosmic Telepathy, which teach techniques of channeling. So I have a lot of things going on.
Well, I appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule. Your book has some very provocative thoughts in it. I would suggest if you're a person that wants to explore the unique, the unusual, prepare for the landings, Are You Ready? By Michael Elejon, and his last name is spelled E-L-L-E-G-I-O-N. He and Aurora Light put this book together. Check out his website, channelforthemasters.com. Also, prepareforthelandings.com. This is Donna Siebel. Michael, I want to thank you very much for being my guest today.
Thank you for having me on, and God bless everybody.
Thank you. Well, taking a break, we're going to be back in just a moment.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Siebel. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Hello and welcome. This is Donna Sebo. We are back. Telephone lines are now open. I know that there is a caller on the line, but I'll be right with you. 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. I do want to take a moment to thank the wonderful people at the Chamber of Commerce in Silverdale, Washington. I was a speaker there yesterday. We had a very, very large group of people that attended the luncheon speaking opportunity, and I just had a wonderful time. I so appreciate their graciousness and their hospitality and the opportunity to be able to be with them, and it looks like we're going to have the chance to go back again, too. They've invited us back to participate in another function next year. So it was just an absolutely wonderful event. Thank you all. I really appreciate it. Let's take our first caller of the day. Again, if you want to call in and chat with me, I'm available at 888-627-6008. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, hi, Donna. It's Pat. How are you?
Well, I'm doing wonderfully. Pat, you're in Connecticut, right?
Yes, I am.
Well, I'm so delighted that you called in this morning. You found my time change.
Yes, I did. I called the regular time by mistake, even though I read about you changing.
Habits are hard to break, aren't they?
Yeah.
Well, I'm so delighted you were able to join me this morning. Okay, let me give you some information. The first thing I'm looking at is you are going to have to draw out a blueprint for change. And it's as if you are sketching out on a large piece of paper. This is the imagery I'm getting. You have a blue pencil in your hand, and you're saying, okay, I'm going to draw out this schematic, this particular design. And I want to say, be sure you have an eraser handy, a big one, because, in fact, it's almost like a super large cartoon-type eraser that I'm seeing in my head, because you're going to want to make a lot of changes. And I want you to be patient with yourself. You're not going to be able to just implement your change right away. The fact is that as you are going along and you are doing this plan, maybe that's a better word for me to use, you need to realize that if you're adaptable, which you should be by now, if you are adaptable, you won't be bothered by having to change either an application, a technique, timing, whatever is necessary to get to your objective. It's sort of like routing to New York City in the fall, and maybe you find there's a premature snowstorm that you might hit in Tennessee, and you say, okay, I think I'll come up through Virginia. So it's how do you manage things without getting upset, because what you would like to have in a structured plan is not happening. Adaptability is going to be, and flexibility are going to be key. There's no wrong way here. You just need to know that when it's time for you to shift, that you can shift. It's very important for you to understand. So if you're willing to do that and you're okay with it, then you'll have a lot less stress. If you try to control everything, you are just going to feel like the universe is working against you and you're having to backpedal on everything, and that's not true. It's adaptability and flexibility. You really have quite a good summer ahead of you. And I want to say, be aware, you might overbook yourself with activities, commitments, etc. So take time to think about what it is that you need for your own balance, for your own wellness, and you're going to be just fine. But you're really moving forward in a very fast pace here. So you do have to look at how you will handle the shifts that are going to evolve for you so that you don't get all upset and agitated, stressed, whatever word you want to use. Just know that it's all working in its right order. Do you have a question for me?
Yeah, I do. I'm really at a low point. I'm wondering, I just wanted to ask you if I'm ever going to get better, and maybe this is what I'm trying to control. I just don't see. I'm trying really, really hard, but I continue with thoughts of, am I making any progress at all? Am I ever going to change? Is it me that's holding myself back?
I think you're trying too hard. What is it that's bothering you? What is it that you feel you're just not getting better at or in?
I struggle with,
That's all right, dear. Not a problem.
It's an everyday struggle with anxiety and probably agoraphobia and depression and really trying to, a lot of negative thoughts, but right now I'm in the middle of trying to let up the anger and let myself think these thoughts in hopes that it will come up and out, but I'm not sure.
Okay, let me make a suggestion to you. First of all, stop trying to do this all by yourself. This is a journey that you are close to being able to resolve. What you were correct. You are trying to control too much. You are trying to say, I have to do this all by myself, which you don't. And I would like to see you find a support group, and I would suggest one that you could meet with physically, that will enable you to release this. I'd love to see you work with an art therapy group. And the reason I suggest this is because I feel like if you were to work in some artistic format, whether it would be through pottery or painting, for some reason I think painting would work better with you, where you could use colors, you need to be able to look at what it is that you've been trying to suppress for so long. But I think when you're trying to do it by yourself, you get very frightened because it seems to have more of an energy because you have a very, very high intuitive level. And when someone is going through cycles like you've been experiencing, then you need to be able to be in a supportive environment of other people that are going to not try to put you down or try to tell you that, you know, take pill A, B, or C, and this is all going to go away. What there is here, there's a combination of things going on. There is a biological chemical factor that is at work here. There is also patternings of habit that have sort of kept you in a positioning. And it's mental habit, emotional habit. It's just something anybody and all of us do at some time. I mean, it's just there. But what you're doing is that you're mindfully aware of this. You're recognizing it. So you have, instead of in the state of denial and feeling bad about it, you're saying, this is what I'm experiencing. Well, that is a fabulous step because so many people never get there. You have taken that point, instead of running away from it, you're saying, this is what I'm experiencing. There is a, like I said, a chemical factor. There is the habit factor. There is the emotional attachment and detachment. This isn't black or white. And so you need to be patient with yourself. And I think that is what was being referenced to. You need to be able to be flexible and adaptable, because much of your education and training in life is you put things in categories, you label them, you box them up, and that is the way it is. There's a lot more than that. You will notice that when you don't get your rest, when you don't sleep well, it affects you more strongly. That's showing you a chemistry factor here. When you're not engaged in something that has an artistic patterning to it that allows you to really work with color, with sound, with design, you feel very locked away, very blocked away. All of these components are involved. And I think if you could be around some people that have an attitude of life, a joy of life, but yet have an empathy for what you're feeling, and you can express it with color and use music as a backdrop, I think the transformation you would experience is tremendous. And this does not need to be your enemy. It actually can be a motivating factor to spur you forward. It is a process, but you've gone farther ahead than what you think. Remember when I said you think you're backpedaling? You're not.
Yeah, I do feel that way.
Yes, you do feel like you're backpedaling, but you're not. See, part of the process of life, of learning, is sometimes we come in with certain challenges, and in those challenges we discover the strengths and the inner greatness that we have. We'll ascribe it more to other people. We'll say, oh, this person's fabulous, this, and this. But when we're living with ourselves, we're very hard on ourselves, and that's what you've done. But you have been able, through the years, to be able to grow and to expand. So here you are with this wonderful part of yourself that has come alive, that loves to learn, that loves to express, that loves to be. And here is this old part of the self that is saying, I don't like this. It's like two kids having tantrums at the same time.
Right.
Now, am I making sense with what I'm sharing with you?
Yes, very much so.
All right. So when the one part of you starts having a tantrum because it no longer has the priority in your life, you have to be able to recognize that and say, okay, what can I do to take dominion? Maybe it'll be a walk around the block. Maybe it'll be doing some artwork. But it's okay. This is something that can stimulate you to find the strengths that you, and to admire them, appreciate them, and encourage them to become even stronger. So you're not going backwards. But you need to have some more interaction with people there.
Okay.
Isolationism is not the cure.
It's not what?
It's not the cure.
Oh, okay.
The cure is the process of many components. And you enjoy people, and it's something that you need more of. But you need the environment of people that are going to have the joy and love of things that you do.
Right.
Does that help you?
Yeah, I find that environment would be very tough to find.
Don't limit the universe.
Okay.
Doesn't have to be. I'm not talking about a huge group.
Right.
Keep your mind and attitudes open.
Okay.
And allow yourself to have the opportunity to recognize it when it comes up.
Okay.
Don't judge first.
I will do that. Well, I'm doing Bach flower remedies. Are they helping me?
I would say you need to continue to explore with them. I think the Bach flower remedies are very, very good as a tool, but they're not the end-all of end-alls here. There's multiple
right.
levels to this.
Okay. Do you
I want to thank you for
making...
your call, Pat.
All right, Donna, thank you so much.
You are very welcome, dear. This is Donna Sebo. If you'd like to call up and chat with me, 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. And by the way, I want to apologize to those of you that have been trying to get through to me on my email. We're having challenges with my server. And we're going to probably have to go through some major changes, but we're trying to work through some of the things. So try to reach me at Donna Sebo at Comcast www.thebetterhealth.net. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a minute.
Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosin.com. That's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N. And find out more information. You can order Toprosin online or call 800-959-1007. That's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosin, non-toxic, safe for children too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedrose accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Hi, this is Donna. I've got a special story to share with you, but I want to give you the number 888-627-6008. So if you want to call in and chat with me, you're able to do that. I don't know about you, but I absolutely love hummingbirds in our yard. We just have just had a plethora of them. We have to put a fresh sugar water out for the hummingbirds a couple of times a week now because we have a migration that's come through. But I thought I would share with you some information. If you are like me, you enjoy hummingbirds, you enjoy the butterflies, you enjoy ladybugs, all of these wonderful critters are so beneficial to the garden. And I found out some tips about how you can attract them into your environment. Now, of course, with the hummingbirds, we know about the sugar water, and you want to have a feeder that I prefer the glass feeders rather than the plastic. For some reason, the plastic seems to encourage mold. Don't ask me why. It's just what I notice here. Now, if you're in a real dry climate like Arizona or someplace like that and you want to attract hummingbirds, I don't know if they're in your area or not, but by golly, here it is so wet, just like we're having rain today. So we have a dampness sometimes up here, not sometimes, frequently, up here in the Pacific Northwest. That's what helps keeps it so deliciously green. And we have all kinds of wonderful critters that come through. So the glass keeps the mildew factor really, really low. But I didn't know that if you saved one of those mesh iron onion sacks, you know how your onions come in those sacks? Well, you can use those to stuff them with finger-length pieces of yarn and maybe some feathers. And this, to me, was really a surprise. If you would hang that on a tree, because of the holes that are in the mesh, obviously, the hummingbirds will tug out the tiny pieces of yarn. And I would say use wool. Don't use acrylic, but use the wool. And that's just an environmental positioning that I have. But anything that is of that real delicate type, and they'll carry it off. They'll use the feathers, and they'll use the pieces of yarn for their nesting. And, of course, they're hummingbird nests. They're little tiny things. But it's amazing to watch them. And don't be surprised if some other little birds do the same thing. We've been seeing a lot of birds in this area carrying nesting materials because it's that time of year, right? Right. Now, butterflies. Encouraging butterflies is very, very important. And they, both the hummingbird, the butterfly, ladybugs, bees, they all help to pollinate, and that is extremely important. I did not know that butterflies have a salt tooth. That's right. This comes from Sharon Lovejoy. she said they like to feast on the proteins and minerals in salt. And she said all you need to do is take an 8 to 10-inch wide plant saucer with a little soil, water, and put in a tablespoon of salt. Take this mud pie, put it in a sunny area. Butterflies love things out in the sun. And they will come in and they will feed on that. I've been seeing more and more butterflies, and I know that they have been subject to pesticides. And, of course, if you like me and you just love the monarchs, there's many, many different types of butterflies, but they're just so spectacular to see. This is something that you could have your kids do. And if you live in a real dry climate, they'll come in. Now, during the sunnier months here in Washington, something like this would work very well. Also, she said, plant your pizza herbs. Yes. Your butterflies love colorful flowers, sunflowers, zinnias, butterfly bush, and they love herbs. So she said, combine the two. Grow the herbs they most love, which are basil, oregano, rosemary, and thyme. Hey, what is your favorite food that those spices, the sauce, enjoys the seasonings of same? Well, it's your pizza. That's right. So she calls them the pizza herbs. And if you have sunflowers all around them, the butterflies will just absolutely delight you by feeding in those areas. The sunflowers, the monarchs like. Small butterflies like the herbs more than the monarchs do. And then ladybugs. When I lived in California, I was born and raised there and lived there for a good portion of my life, the one thing that we always tried to do was bring out ladybugs, because if you grew roses, you always knew you were going to have plenty of aphids. Well, if you have ladybugs, you need to remember to release them. You can buy them. You can go to gardening stores, and they will have boxes of ladybugs. You let them out at night. You don't do it during the day, because during the day, they'll just fly away. But if you let them out at night, then they will stay around your plants. Now, I was surprised to learn. You learn something new every day. There is a plant called borage. It's B-O-R-A-G-E. The Swiss studied this plant, and this comes out as a blue, with a blue flower, can be planted in June. They attract ladybugs like crazy. Other herbs that ladybugs like are dill, coriander, parsley, and cilantro. It's nature's way of creating a balance and a food source. And they really are super in gardens, because the larvae of your ladybugs eat all kinds of pests, and they will just be with you all the time. Something has happened in our home over the years. I've never figured out how this has occurred, but we have ladybugs inside our house. At a certain time of the year, we'll find ladybugs throughout our house. And it is just amazing. And I don't look at it as a negative. Sadly, they will be around for a while, but they are in the house, and they've been showing up every single year for years. Don't ask me how. I haven't a clue. But I just wanted to share those little tips with you, because I think they're good ones to know. After all, this is the time of year to enjoy preparing your garden, if you haven't already done it, to enjoy it through the warmer summer months. Okay, I have something here in the way of triangles over Belgium. We were talking with Michael earlier. He was talking about various experiences he had in Belgium in 1989, and this is all documented. There was a big, big batch of articles. They still talk about it, because there were sightings that occurred in the vicinity of Wallonia. And this occurred on March 30th, 1990. They received over 2,700 reports of massive triangular UFOs. The Belgian Air Force got these calls. And usually they get about 300 UFO reports every year. However, this time, these UFOs were seen by members of the military, police officers, civilians, and five separate radar stations. And they're very descriptive. They had yellow lights on them. They had red lights, blue, green, white, and they would change colors. It's as if there was some kind of a communication that was going on. Two different NATO stations radar detected one of the craft. Two F-16 fighter interceptors were released to investigate. Pilots had managed to lock onto the spaceships six or seven times, but they couldn't hold it. It's as if something came in and broke that communication lock. And they just have awesome stories that are related to this phenomenal experience that occurred on March 30th, 1990. Check it out on the Internet. I think you'll find it quite interesting. This is Donna Siebel. We are out of time. I'm so delighted you were able to share with me today some of your precious time. Join me again tomorrow, same time, same place, right here on BBS Radio, remembering always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless. Have a magnificent day or evening wherever you are. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Siebel Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Siebel Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.